Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning, and welcome to church this morning and into this place of worship and of celebration. And speaking of celebration, we had a really lovely night last night at our Thanksgiving dinner. I hope that those who came, they enjoyed an incredible feast, because we had a fabulous feast and a wonderful time together, celebrating the goodness of God and celebrating one another. May we always continue to remember the goodness of God in our lives and give thanks in all times and all situations. Okay, heroes of the faith. We have been looking at the heroes of the faith over the last couple of weeks. It's really been the last couple of months. And we've been looking at them from the Old Testament. We've got Joseph, Enoch, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, I have to be honest, because I'm going to stumble on this one every time I say his name. I thought it was Abednego.
Yeah.
Abednego. So, yeah, so I'm going to get it wrong. So it's Abednego. To Abed you go. Okay, and Esther. So they're from the Old Testament. From the New Testament, we've looked at Stephen and Priscilla and Aquila. And then, of course, we had Robin Aim, who came and visited us as well, who I see and consider, along with his wife Margaret, as a current day hero of the faith. Yeah. With love and with grace and with wisdom and with faith, they have served and trusted God for many, many decades, and they will continue to do so. Okay, so these men and women, these ones here, not necessarily Robin Aim, because you'll see why, that have gone before us, whose lives and stories have been chosen to be part of the greater written story of God, their lives among the many others, the many that we didn't add into this list here, are there to encourage us and to warn us as fellow pilgrims endeavouring to live and love the kingdom way. Now, when we asked Ray Moxham, and we asked Chris, and we asked Jane and Kay Fountain to speak of a hero of the faith, we gave each person the opportunity to choose who they wanted to speak about. And each person obviously chose somebody very different, which meant that we got to see different perspectives of what it means to be a hero of the faith. And these different perspectives came about because of the different times that they lived in and the different set of complex circumstances that they faced and the different people that they were, and because of the different purposes and calling on their lives. So the hope was that as we explored and as we learned from those who have gone before us, from Joseph and Enoch, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego and Esther, as well as Stephen and Priscilla and Aquila, that we would be encouraged and we would be inspired and we'd be challenged by their stories, which would hopefully draw us closer to God. Now, at the beginning of the series, I put up this slide. And it said, heroes of the faith, men and women who live faithfully and fearlessly for God. And they're determined to follow God, to trust and to be obedient to him, no matter the cost. These men and women have courage and perseverance, and they've surrendered their situations and their lives to God, and they've kept focused on the promises and the purposes of God, and that none of them were perfect. So now, as we finish this series, let's take a quick look back using these statements as a rubric for our heroes of faith. Okay, so they were determined to follow God and to trust and be obedient to him no matter the cost. For each of our heroes of the faith, it cost them to be faithful to God. Joseph. He lost his family. He lost his reputation because of Potiphar's wife, and he spent many years in prison. But because of God's justice and favour, ultimately what his family intended to harm him, God used it for the good to accomplish the saving of many lives. And Enoch, he was determined to pursue his relationship with God, following God's ways, in a time that we read that the way of the world was such that it was becoming increasingly evil. We all know the tension that can happen when we live and work in contrast to those around us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, If we thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, they say, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God that you have set up. Esther, to come before the king, she could potentially lose her life. Stephen, who in the face of the fury of the Sanhedrin, Stephen was calm and at peace. And we read that his face glowed like an angel. His story, facing potential death, is very different to that of Shadrach and his friends. Because for speaking the truth of the gospel, it did cost him his life. And then we have Priscilla and Aquila. Just for being born Jewish, they became displaced people. And we read that they too risked their life for the sake of the gospel. The thing about them is that they all chose to put their faith and hope in God. And the same is true for us. It comes down to choice for us all, choosing to follow Jesus, choosing to be obedient to his teaching, choosing to believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, so that we become unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, that we choose to trust in his word, the word of God that is alive and that is active, the word of God that separates between soul and spirit, which exposes our innermost thoughts and desires, the power of the word, choosing not just to read the word, but allow the word to read us. There is a cost for us all to follow Jesus. And we have been forewarned because Jesus clearly tells us that this is the case. And I imagine for many of us, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of following Jesus, we've had to pay some kind of price. Could be that as we've held to his teaching, that is in stark contrast to those around us. Well, when we've chosen certain habits and lifestyles, chosen to leave those behind, choosing not to do what everybody else does, can mean that we can be misunderstood by friends and families and colleagues. And the challenge of saying no to some things, the challenge of saying yes to some things, can cost us our time, can cost us our resources, our energy, and our popularity. But then Jesus reminds us again that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When it is found, when it is discovered, it's hidden, the person hides it, and then for joy goes out and sells everything that they have so that they can buy the field. Or the pearl merchant who finds the pearl of great price, and again he sells everything he has so that he can take hold of it. Determining to follow Jesus, to trust and be obedient to him, is so worth it. For what does a person profit to gain the whole world but to then lose his soul? And then the next one, our heroes of faith, they have courage and perseverance. Courage is the ability to do something that frightens you. Perseverance is persistence in doing something despite difficulty or the delay in achieving success. Here we've got Joseph, who maintained integrity in the face of injustice, persevering for 17 years, waiting to see the fulfillment of God's purposes and promises and plans, all while living in a foreign land under foreign law, yet still he maintained a good and godly lifestyle. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, along with Daniel, I wonder whether they were friends before they were taken, or once they were in Babylon, that they found each other, that they found themselves as kindred spirits, which then also gave them the strength and the courage to stand together for God and not to bow down to idols. Then we've got Esther. She knew she could have been killed, but the growing awareness of what Haman's law would have meant for her people, She required incredible courage to step forward into her divine destiny to see the people of God saved. And just before Stephen was stoned, he spoke with such courage and boldness, empowered by the Holy Spirit, as he reminded the Jewish leaders and those listening of the goodness and faithfulness of God, ultimately highlighting their unfaithfulness. And in this, God's words of encouragement to Joshua ring around for me. Remember those words that he said to Joshua? Do not be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. For the many things that we could ask God for as part of our daily bread, we can ask for courage and persistence and perseverance. See, we all face times and moments, I imagine, throughout our day when we need the courage to do things that we're not comfortable with, where we have to stand firm yet lovingly in the face of opposition, whether it be from others or from our own mind and from our own heart, our own flesh. Or it may be that we require grace and the strength to persist in doing or remain doing things despite the difficulty in doing it, despite its ordinariness and its boringness, and despite how long we have to keep doing these things to see whatever it is fulfilled. Just like our heroes of faith, they could not do what they did on their own. So we have the Holy Spirit that gives us what we need at all times and in all circumstances. Calling out to God, asking for what we need, relying on His grace, we become the people that we need to be, to do what it is that He calls us to do with courage and perseverance. And then what we have is that these heroes of faith, they surrendered their situations and their lives to God. For Joseph, I wonder at what point did Joseph say, whatever I'm doing, it's not working out well, so God, have your way. Was it when he was in the pit? Was it when he was in the palace? Was it when he was in prison? Or was it when he was put into a position of authority? At what point did he say, God, I trust you? Or Enoch, when was that moment that he chose to walk faithfully with God? Pastor Ray kind of alluded to the fact that it was after his son Methuselah was born that he followed God. What happened in that time that made him turn to God and say, my life is yours? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The line that says, even if it does not, was one of those amazing lines. They're declaring what God can and could do. They say, even if he does not, yet will we still serve him. Imagine these young men became really resolved right from the start when they were taken against their will. We will surrender our lives. We will give our lives fully to God. We will not bend. And then there's Esther. Who knows that she had come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Was this that the moment that she said, use me, Lord? Stephen had given his life to Jesus. And it's so clearly marked and clearly said, at the end of his life, he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He could have hoped, he could have prayed for his friends to come along and take him out. Remember, Paul was stoned as well, but Paul did not die. Yet in these words, we see Stephen surrendering himself, receive my spirit. And then he says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And Priscilla and Aquila, from when we first meet them, they know that their lives are in the hands of others, at the mercy of others, until they willingly surrender their lives to Jesus. Surrendering our lives is not just a one-time event. However, most likely we can remember that time when we did willingly say, Jesus, have it all. However, it is an ongoing occurrence. So maybe it is that when we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, maybe it might sound like this: Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my heart, in my emotions, in my mind, in my thoughts, in my body, in the things that I do with my body, in my situation, in the things that I can control, and in the things that I have absolutely no control over. Let your will be done as it is in heaven. Every day, I need to, we need to surrender our will and our way to the way and the will of Jesus. These heroes of the faith, they kept focused on the promises and the purposes of God. Joseph had that dream. Who knew from that dream what would unfold? But there would have come a time that Joseph went, okay, this is what it's all about. There would have been that revelation that was like, this is what it's all been about. And I'm just going to keep going. And I'm just going to keep my eyes focused on God. And Enoch, you know, the experience of his relationship with God and the depth and the purity of it was so worth it for him to be faithful above all other gods. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would have all read about the faithfulness of God and the power of God in the Torah. They knew that God was more than able to save. But even if he did not, they would continue to surrender their lives to him, remaining faithful to God, who was faithful to them. And then Stephen, again, filled with the Holy Spirit, who would have seen Jesus' death and resurrection, and he'd experienced God move spectacularly in and through him. He was full of faith, full of the Spirit, knowing that there was no reward here on earth greater than being with the Father. And Priscilla and Aquila, who lived and taught the teachings of Jesus, knew that there was power in the name of Jesus, that the same power of the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lived within them. And the lived reality of this helped them to keep focused on the promises and the purposes of God on their lives and on the lives of those around them. It is so important for us to remind ourselves regularly of the goodness of God. Part of what last night was about was remembering the goodness of God. You know, like as we said, you know, we acknowledge totally that there are challenging times in our lives. We all have those, yet God is still good. God still remains the same. And as we reflect and as we remember, we're strengthened in so many ways, and our faith is strengthened in him and his ongoing promises for us. And the Bible is full of promises from God about protection and guidance, the promise of salvation for those who believe, promises about God's constant presence and his love and his forgiveness of sins, provisions for our need and a future filled with hope. His promises to provide strength and peace and the help of the Holy Spirit as we seek him. And I wonder what promise that of God that you might be holding on to in this season of your life. And then we have heroes of the faith. None of them were perfect. Now, for all the heroes of the faith, the ones that everybody chose, there wasn't really sort of any indication where there was any sort of misdemeanor that kind of happened in their life. There are with other heroes of the faith. But we know that none of them were perfect because none of us are. And if we say we're without sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Only Jesus is perfect. As I've said before, these stories of faith came about because of the different times that they lived in and the different sets of circumstances that they faced and the different people that they were. And the circumstances and the context of each of our lives of faith are as unique as we are. Which means that what it looks like for us to be a person, possibly a hero of the faith, will look different to each other's. And it's our hope that over these six, that as we've looked at these six people over these last couple of weeks, that we have been encouraged and inspired to be determined to follow God and to trust and be obedient to him, no matter the cost. that we would have courage and perseverance, and that we would seek that from him, that we would continue to surrender our situations and our lives to God, and that we would keep focused on the promises and the purposes of God, and that we would constantly remind ourselves that we're not perfect, and that it's okay, that God is good, even at times when we are not. But the overarching and the undergirding nature of all these stories and our own stories, there is one constant. There is one definitive and definite commonality, and that is God, the God of the heroes of the faith. Now, these heroes of faith were called, they were led, they were empowered, and they were strengthened, and they were sustained by God. They knew God, not just because they'd been told about him, not just because they had this head knowledge, but by lived experience. They knew him to be true to his word and faithful to his covenant, and they trusted him with their lives, with their very lives. The same God of Joseph and Enoch and all our other friends there is the same God as ours. The very God that Enoch was so determined to follow, to be obedient, to be faithful to in the day and age that he lived in, is the same God that we now get to call Father. Our Father, who is close and personal and relational, who is loving and who is deeply concerned for who you are and for how you are. And he desires that we would know him, that we would know the depth and the breadth of his love, and that we would all live in the freedom that has been bought for us by Jesus. The same God who never abandoned Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, Esther or Stephen, who really did risk their lives, with Stephen losing his, is the same God when, no matter what situation we might find ourselves in, he remains faithful and true, and he will never leave us or forsake us. He never gives up on us. And the God who places people alongside others to support and encourage others, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had with Daniel, like with Priscilla and Aquila, who had Paul, and then they willingly shared their heart and home with others, is the same God who places us into families and into faith communities with spiritual companions, so that we may strengthen and encourage others, so that we may be strengthened and encouraged for such a time as this. We're not here in this place of Cornerstone by some random event. God is intentional in his goodness to us and for us. And the same God who spoke to Joseph through dreams and interpretations is the same God who desires to speak to us today through the word, in prayer, by a still, small, but quiet voice, through nature, through others, through dreams, through so many ways God speaks to us. Oh, that we would have ears to hear. The God who empowered Esther with incredible courage, boldness, and wisdom is the same God who empowers us and strengthens us through the Holy Spirit to live the way of the kingdom, the way that the kingdom requires us to live and to do the things that we're called to do. The God who is faithful to his word and to his promises right throughout Scripture is the same God who in all things is working for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes. In each of the stories, these people only ever saw it in part. They didn't actually get to see the full effect of their faith that they had on the generations to come. They didn't get to see the fulfillment of the purposes of God. Yet for all of their trust and their faith in God, despite everything that happened to them along the way, God remained faithful to them and to his word. And the same is true for us. As we continue to place our hope and faith in God, holding on for dear life to the promises, to his promises, and reminding ourselves of what he has done for us and what he has done for others, we can be certain that he will remain true to his word. These heroes of the faith, their God is our God. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, who is full of love and grace and mercy. The God who loves us so much that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, that as we believe in him, we will not die, but have eternal life. Their God is our God. Now, our lives, our stories of faith most likely won't make the headlines. However, our lives will be read by others, by our families and by our friends, and by those that we engage with through our work or those that we rub shoulders with along the way. May it be that you're choosing to follow Jesus, despite all the many other callings that people have, that they call out to you to follow them. May it be your courage and persistence in holding faithfully to the way, the truth, and the life that is found in Jesus. May it be your surrendered life to the will and the way of God, and your holding on to the promises and goodness of God in the storms of life, be what it is that is read by others, that they too may be encouraged, that they may be inspired, that they may be challenged and drawn closer to God. And to God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is so easy to read stories of others and to separate ourselves out from them. And in a way, we do that because of different time and different circumstances, as I've shared this morning. But in all of those stories, and all of the stories that we've even heard of, that we all know individually and personally of others who have gone before us and who live alongside us now, there is that one commonality, that you are our God. You are the same God. And for all that you've done for others, you can do for us, if it is your will. And that you are powerful. And that your way, your truth, and your life, there is no other way. It's only your way. Your promises are true. You have been faithful right from the start, and you will be faithful right to the end. So in this point in time that we find ourselves in, we can say that you will be faithful to us now. You don't give up on us. You don't say, 27 strikes and you're out. You remain faithful to your promises. You remain faithful to us. And we thank you that as we continue to surrender our lives to you, you hold us gently. You work purposely and perfectly in our lives. And we acknowledge that. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you desire relationship with us. Beyond the surface level. You long for us to know you and be known by you in deep and personal and intimate ways. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that you know us and you love us. And I pray that as we go on throughout our days, that like our heroes of faith, we would continue to choose you every day, Jesus. We would continue to be empowered by you, Holy Spirit, to be courageous and persevere in the things that you have for us. That we would surrender our lives to you, and that we would continue to hold on to your promises for dear life in the storms of life. All of this, Lord, for our good, but ultimately for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.